On roads. But for these next few minutes, I just want to reflect on the Christmas story, on the readings we've been having, and on the carols, the songs we've been singing. But first, let's pause again and pray and ask God that he would open up our hearts to understand these things afresh this Christmas. Let's bow our heads again and pray. Dear God, you want us to know you. That is why you sent your Son. Help us then understand something more about you and about ourselves as we reflect on the Christmas story together now. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder, have you ever been given an unusual present? You know, one of those ones you kind of open up and you kind of go, huh? I remember when I was 10 years old or thereabouts, and I got given as one of my main presents from my parents a pair of scissors. Can you believe that? You heard me right, a pair of scissors. And my mum and dad, who love me very much and are very generous towards me, assured me very quickly that these were not just any old scissors. These were really good scissors, expensive scissors. In fact, they told me they would last a lifetime and I'd use them loads. But I have to say, as a 10-year-old boy, I was kind of like, really? Because many of the other presents I've got, you know, you could play with on Christmas Day. They're often broken by Boxing Day. But parents, you know what I mean. Those are often the great presents as well. But no, these ones were going to last for ages. And I have to say this, that my scissors for decades have served me well. And then we moved this year, and I tell you what, I've hunted and hunted in boxes, and I can't find my scissors anywhere. But I would have loved to have shown them to you, but in all seriousness, these scissors, as I look back, I can see what a great present they were. But at the time, it seemed very strange. And you know, there are presents, aren't there, like that, that make sense as you look back on them. But at the time, they're a bit unusual. And in our readings, and particularly that last reading and the reading that was read to us in all those different languages, we had the wise men, the magi, the kings, if you like. They brought gifts to baby Jesus, and they were expensive gifts, symbolic gifts. There was gold, a gift for a king. There was frankincense, something that was often used in worship and was that sense of the presence of the divine, of God with us. And then there was myrrh. And it's myrrh I want to focus on this evening, because myrrh was a very unusual gift. Don't know if you know much about myrrh. I've done a bit of research, and I discovered that myrrh is an aromatic orange kind of resin. And it comes from thorny trees. And in fact, now they've kind of gone into business in it, and you can get your own myrrh candles. It's a fragrance, and it smells a bit like cinnamon. I wonder if I've got a candle up here. I haven't, but you wouldn't all be able to smell it anyway. But this, I can assure you, this little candle here is the most expensive candle in the room. M&S. You don't want to go buy many of them. But it's odd, because nowadays we associate myrrh with Christmas. But back then, myrrh was actually something that you used if you were very sick. Even when people had died, they'd use myrrh to kind of put in with the bodies when they buried them. Now that is an odd present for a baby. I mean, even a myrrh candle would be an odd present for a baby. But it was a very odd present for a baby. In fact, myrrh was a sign and an indication right there in that joyous scene of the first Christmas with the babies and the shepherds and everything. It was a sign of pain. And right through the Christmas story, there was joy, great joy, but there was also great pain. Do you remember how Mary, the mother of Jesus, she had this amazing news that God was doing a miracle in her heart and life, in her body. But yet, as well as this miracle was the challenge for Mary that she wasn't yet married. In her society, she was going to be ostracized, and not to mention all the pain of actually carrying a baby and of labor itself. There was great joy for Mary, but great pain. What about when they came to Bethlehem? Bethlehem was the birthplace of kings, but there was no room for them in the inn. Great joy, but great pain. You had the choirs of angels singing. And then you had this little messy stable where Mary and Joseph and the baby were. Majesty, poverty, joy, and pain. And it's not just there in the Christmas story, is it? It's there in all of our lives still today. Christmas is a time of great joy, but it also can be a time of great pain. You know, at Christmas time, there are family celebrations, there's work parties, there's lots of chocolates and sweets, there's presents, and much joy and festivity. But you know, too, also at Christmas time, there can be great pain. Many at Christmas are acutely aware of financial difficulties and struggles. Many at Christmas seem to be very aware of the loss of loved ones. Many at Christmas are aware of relationships that have gone wrong. And it seems that some of this pain in society and in our lives is often, feels like it's rising. And even as I thought back over the year and just considered, I remembered those riots in the summer. And there seems to be a brokenness, not just in the inner cities, but in homes and families and lives right across our city, our nation, and our lives. The police are very aware of these things. We only need to open the newspapers to become aware of the brokenness. And the Bible says that in one way or another, all of our lives, my life, your life, one way or another, all of our lives experience this brokenness and pain. And the reason for this pain is that we've turned our back on God, the Bible says. So maybe myrrh is actually not such an unusual present. Because God, in the person of Jesus Christ, came to enter into our messy, pain-filled world. In a moment, the choir are going to sing for us a song called O Come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. O Come, Emmanuel. And it goes on. And it's a song with great lament and pain. But it's also a song where the chorus says, rejoice, rejoice. For this is the amazing mixture of Christmas. There is joy and pain. And you know, as I heard them singing this in rehearsal, I don't know if you remember me, choir, I was sitting up there, and God just reminded me of this time a while back where I was at my mother-in-law's house. And it was one of those nice days where the kids and my wife had gone off to play in the park, and I could put my feet up and just have a nice kind of cozy time. And then I noticed outside my window that it was raining. And not just a little drizzle, but it began to pour. Pour with rain. And I thought, they didn't go out prepared at all. They didn't have their coats or umbrellas. And so I thought, what should I do? I could have just sat down and thought, oh, great, I'm here in the warm. Lovely. But you know what I did? I thought, let me grab an umbrella. I got my daughter's umbrella here, you know. And I ran out to meet them in the rain. And sure enough, I saw them coming back from the park. And they were soaked. In fact, it was one of those raining things where even though you've got an umbrella, you just can't help but get soaked as well as you're out in it. And my littlest daughter, I remember, she had her head down like this, and she was kind of like this look of complete shock and misery on her face. But as I came with the umbrella, their face lit up. And I don't know what your view of God is tonight. But you know, many people think God is quite remote, up there in heaven, very distant from the pain and the struggles of our lives. But you know, the Christmas story tells us that God has come into our world. As it were, he's left the warmth of heaven and traveled way further than the wise men. He traveled all the way to earth, to this messy stable, to this poor family, into our broken world. And the thing about God is he doesn't just come and stand with us in the rain. He does more than that. The amazing thing about God that myrrh points to is that God didn't just come and, as it were, live in our world. He suffered in our world. He died in our world for me and for you. Don't know if you noticed in our invitation, if you got one, it's a picture up here. We had the manger and the stable, but also the cross. You know, on the cross, when Jesus died, myrrh appears again. He was offered myrrh and wine to drink on the cross. And then once he's died, and when he was buried, Jesus was buried with myrrh. You see, the myrrh there that the wise men brought, the myrrh points to the pain that Jesus Christ was going to take for me and for you. The amazing thing of this Christmas time is that Jesus has come and been willing to take the pain so that you and I may have joy. I don't know if you feel this evening like you're a bit walking in the rain, not singing in it, but trudging through it. Maybe you're aware of your own brokenness and mistakes. Maybe it's that of others. But here is the wonderful message of Christmas. The wonderful message that the myrrh in the stable points to, that the wise men brought. There is healing for your pain. There is hope in your despair. There is light in the darkness. There is a Savior. And his name is Jesus Christ. And the angels were singing this amazing song and message that as they brought it to the shepherds, we have it here on the screen. It says this: the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy for all people, all different nationalities, all different seasons of life. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." This Christmas, there is this amazing gift of peace and joy for you and I. It is available. It's available at the expense of Jesus Christ, who came and died for you and I. This is the most amazing gift of Christmas. This is the gift we would love you all to know and experience. It's been the most wonderful gift that I have received in my life. The knowledge that Jesus Christ, God come to earth, came to demonstrate his love that I might have joy and peace. And so I want to invite you, as I end, to turn to him this Christmas in faith in your heart. To say sorry to him for the ways we all turn our back on him. To say thank you that he was willing to face such pain on the cross. And to then invite him. To say, please come in. Like you would invite someone into your home. Invite him into your life this Christmas. When the choir are going to sing in a moment, they're going to sing, oh come, Emmanuel. Why not let that be your prayer too tonight? Oh come, Emmanuel. So before the choir do that, I want to end by saying a prayer. And it's a prayer that is in this little book, Why Christmas, a little booklet. I've got about 100 copies of these, which again, I'd love to give to anyone who wants one on the door. And at the back of this booklet, which I'd highly recommend you get a chance to take and read, there's this very simple prayer. And I'm going to pray it now. And if you want to do that tonight, if you want to echo it in you, own it for yourself, then as I say it slowly, in your own heart and life, why don't you repeat it as well? Let's bow our heads, everyone, as we receive this greatest of Christmas gifts. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm sorry for the things I've done wrong in my life. Please forgive me. I now turn from everything which I know is wrong. Thank you that you died on the cross for me so that I could be forgiven and set free. Thank you that you offer me forgiveness and the gift of your Spirit. I now receive that gift. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.